in, and let's thank Yosef for sponsoring Lilui Nishmas' mother. It's Hey Tammuz. Today. Today is Boba Yom. Neshama should have an aliyah, and certainly something appropriate about learning about the Mitzvah of Puruvu with the yahrzeit of a parent. We began last week by seeing, first of all, the Mitzvah as it's formulated by the Sefer HaChinuch, and we began as well the first section as it's recounted in the Minchas Chinuch. I'll make a plug once again for buying the Machon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch. They're not that expensive, especially in the small size like I have, and they make a world of difference. Aside from all the bells and whistles which it provides, it also reorganizes some of the paragraphs. There are times where Minchas Chinuch, like in a second Mahadura, added something later in the mitzvah, and in the older versions it keeps it later, but in the new version of Minchas Chinuch, they put it into where actually is more appropriate thematically, and as a result, there was even some time last week where we were reading something based on my Nusach, if you will, in Machon Yerushalayim, and those who had the older traditional version hadn't gotten it yet. It's all in everyone's version, you just had to jump around. So it'll be easier for everyone, and trust me, it's beneficial for your own learning if you have this version. As I said, I get nothing from it, but it is a recommendation. So we left off with in Os Dalet. Again, I don't know if the Os Dalet is clear in the older versions, but in the newer versions it's on the right hand side of the first column, Sifkat and Dalet. Last week we began with the basic halachos. What is the time? Yeah, please. You make me nervous. What is the time that one becomes obligated in the mitzvah? We saw that the Minchas Chinuch quotes 18. The Rambam has a lashon of 17, but most Mefarshim point out that's probably not really a difference. And the question is, we asked last week, why should it be 18 and not 13 like every other mitzvah in the Torah? And the Minchas Chinuch really himself didn't address that, but we did digress for a moment. I shared with you the thoughts of the Sefer Cheshbonos Shel Mitzvah, which is a commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs written by the Aderes, who, among other things, has Yichus as Rav Kook's father-in-law. And sure enough, in that opening piece, he said he was bothered by this and discussed it with Rav Kook. The Aderes is one of the great Gedolei Europe. It was a Rav of Ponovich, and eventually also made Aliyah. An interesting historical footnote that's apropos to this year. See, I don't know. See, maybe move the seat into the middle. Okay. Anyway, Natali, come in. Yeah, there's, on the inside of the table, you're welcome. This is an interesting historical footnote, unrelated other than from a biographical perspective. When the initial Heter Mechira was proposed by Rav Yitzchak Elchanan and Rav Yosef Engel and others in Europe, Rav Kook and his father-in-law, that Deret, were both against it. It was only eventually when they made Aliyah that they ended up perhaps seeing the Tzorech HaShah at the time on the ground with their own eyes, Ein Odoma, Shmia Kriya, they actually changed their mind. But that's just as an aside. But we mentioned there from the Aderet, and perhaps was influenced by Rav Kook, he had a suggestion that perhaps there is a little bit of the Zman HaMitzvah begins at 13, but perhaps Torah understood that a person's not physically, and we added in today's day and age, certainly emotionally or psychologically ready at 13, and therefore the Torah Chesh that perhaps it would be 18. Be that as it may, we then continued with the Minchas Chinuch-esque discussion of Tumtum. Tumtum is, I think, a very, very rare phenomenon, and that is a person that is born with no overt sexual organs. So we're not sure if, just looking at the person, if they're a male or a female. And this has ramifications in other areas of halacha. The Gemara often talks about the possibility of ripping off that skin that's covering it to look for it, perhaps if underneath there is something visible. And the Minchas Chinuch discussed perhaps of what if you would find after that evidence that this clearly was a boy, a male, would that help for the mitzvah or not? And we saw last week, and this is a good, not only a chazara, but it's a good segue to what we'll see now, we saw the Minchas Chinuch making the point, again, based on something that was implicit in the Gemara, that that may not be sufficient. Even if we said, no, we did the surgery, and now we've constructed something. That would be obviously something new. But we revealed something that was always there. So Minchas Chinuch pointed out that there seems to be a machlokas rishonim, a machlokas which seems to be a machlokas in metzias. I don't have a good explanation, because we always try to avoid those kind of machlokas. But it seems to be a machlokas rishonim, whether a tumtum, even if it was revealed that they were a male, are they have the ability to impregnate someone? Are they roi laholid or not? And we saw, and here's the important point, as we'll segue to the new topic tonight, that is an important tnai in the mitzvah peruvu. It's not just, as we paskin in the opinion of Beis Hillel, they need to have a boy and a girl. that boy and a girl, both themselves need to have the ability to have children. They need to be roi laholid. Do you need to have children mamish? Does your children need to have children mamish? Do you need to have grandchildren? So that's something that we'll see. How far do you push it? That we'll see as the mitzvah develops. But at least in theory, in terms of a physical capability, if you assume that a tumtum is not royal or holy, or best is a suffolk, so then it doesn't matter if you even positively identify them as a boy or a girl, it wouldn't matter. Apropos to that, the Minchas Chinuch now begins a discussion of what always comes to tumtum, and that is androgynous. An androgynous is someone who is perhaps even more unique, and that is that he has, or shouldn't say he, I hate, you feel awkward saying it about a human being, but it has visible signs of being both a boy and a girl, both a male and a female. You can imagine it would be a difficult childhood. Children can be.
I would actually tell you that that is.
Oh, you tell me.
That is, I wouldn't say it's not unique, but I don't.
It's not as uncommon as we might think.
I don't think that a chumchum is something that we see
at all.
At all.
And what about an androgynous?
An androgynous I see once a month.
Really?
Really?
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Now, when you say androgynous, you mean that to your eyes, to the doctor?
Where I would have to look at that and...
We'll say it's visible,
say,
both?
This looks like that, that looks like that. I mean, it's not two different, it's not two sets. It's one set that
looks like
has
both.
Features of both.
And what do you do? Do you do a surgery, or what do they do?
Depends. I mean, it's a...
Complicated.
It's a very big workup.
Gotcha.
It's a big, okay. And a big workup.
Okay, so we'll leave the medical problems to Barry.
Yeah, but that is the medical. The medical metzius is androgynous.
Still is relative.
The chumchum is, I could imagine that there's one thing that I've maybe seen once that I would say that is what that is. But I don't.
Right. Wow. Okay.
I don't know the metzius.
Could it have children?
Some.
Well, that's going to be part of the discussion tonight. Barry, we'll turn our attention back to Barry's expertise as we continue the shiur. So if you take a look in Dalet, the Minchas Chinuch now gets into this discussion. Im holin androgynous uben obas. The way you can flesh out the nafka mina, says the Minchas Chinuch, is you have a definite son or daughter, and your second child, your additional child, is the androgynous. So depending on how we view the androgynous, you may have fulfilled peruvu. That's the question. What is androgynous? So first he tells you, based on all we know from Shas and Rambam, androgynous, hainu sheyesh lo zachrus v'nekevus, has evidence of both being a male or a female. So first shita in Rishonim. This is not just a puravu machlokas. This gets into many issues. Just to give you another example, which we'll see, yibum. Right? Yibum, chalitza, lots of different things. So in general, what's the status of an androgynous? And then we'll have to relate it to whether you fulfill puravu by having such a child. So the Rambam sheet is, das ha-Rambam gam kein b'chol makom. The Rambam in general says, to who suffik?
Two ways or three ways?
No, suffik. The Rambam seems to say it's a suffik. We're not sure if it's a boy or a girl. Therefore, we have to treat it b'suffik.
Either?
Suffik. Not both, not neither. Suffolk. You have to read the words. Suffolk. He says this in a number of places. However, now is point number two. Again, that's why it was worthy of chazaring the tumtum, not just for sake of chazara, because of the segue. Two issues. One is boy or girl. And the second one is, are they capable of having children themselves? Das harambam perikvav mi hilchos yibum alocha beiz thandrogonus eino roi laholid. So, for example, the nafka mina is, if there's a sibling, somebody dies, and the woman is nafal liyibum, or maybe she's nafal liyibum, that's the question, and the brother is an androgynous, so if you're not sure if it's a boy, so then she certainly is not going to be able to marry him. But the point is, says the Rambam there, hechos yibum, even if you assume he's a boy, a male, ain't a roi laholid. And the whole purpose of yibum is, yikum shem, so therefore... Says the Rambam, we assume that's a separate, and the Mechassan is going to make the point, whatever you say about the status of a male or a female, it's a separate issue. Whatever it is, can it have children? And the Rambam assumes two things, Safek and Ein Roi Laholid. V'chein Hidas HaRifsham, that's also the Rifshita. And therefore, according to that first school of thought in Rishonim, says Minchas Chinuch, Bavadai Lo Kiyam HaMitzvah, the Ein Roi Laholid. We don't have to be bogged down in the... We don't have to worry about paskling the first child, a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter if they're in a roi laholid. That, in a certain sense, is easy. Because if the If it, whether it's a male or a female, can't have children, so that doesn't make a difference, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah through that.
Does a couple mekayim puravu if they adopt a child?
It's a very, very good question. It's a suffix. I think it's the Chachma Shlomo raises that possibility in the beginning of Evan Ezer. The Pashtus says no. The Pashtus says it's a huge mitzvah. Huge, huge mitzvah. But the Pashtus, it's not a fulfillment of puravu.
You mean a puravu?
Huh?
Why is that such a...
Because part of the part for Ravu is that we should do mitzvah. So
to raise the child. Right, to raise the child. So that's, I mentioned today, I think
part
that...
The mitzvah for the world.
No, the Lashavas Shabbos is an aspect of for Ravu.
Right, so that's Didi's right. Didi's right. That's why most Rishonim don't even, or Achronim don't even consider it.
The Shaila is,
how do you understand those Achronim who even are Mesupik about it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I think the answer probably is, I don't remember if I talked about this last week or not. If I didn't, then Baruch Shekiva and Chaim, and if I did, Baruch Shezacher Chaim.
I should have listened.
And that is, no, I didn't talk about it in terms of adoption, though, but I mentioned the Yisod, which, if I didn't mention, I'll throw out now, and just keep in the back of your mind, see if you see any evidence throughout the next few weeks of learning this mitzvah. But there is a, I think I did mention this possibility, that there are Makoros that point to the possibility that the full completion of mitzvahs puravu is not enough just l'shevis. It's not just populating the world, you know, so that we would say, you know, the Chinese are, you know, the gold medal winners in puravu, so to speak. It's not just that, but rather the purpose is to populate the world and to continue the Torah, to continue the Mesorah, to teach Torah. I was using the Chinese just as a mashal. But my point is, not even a mashal, as a idiomatic... But the point is if it's not just about the biology, but it's also about the transmission of the Mesorah. So I think, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I mentioned to you last week, the Tosfos and Baba Basra. Tosfos, the Gemara of the end of Chesed Sabbatim has a Havamina, that says that there was a Havamina that the Chachamim had, Bezman HaChurban, their Mevatel, the Mitzvah Peruvu. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Tosfos asked the question, what kind of Havamina could you be in? It's a Mitzvah Saseh Daraisa. And to be okra would be become vasei. How could they do that? And Tosfos the answer. Well, that has to do with the definition of what. How do you define kum vasei and shevasei? That's a fair point, Seymour. But the bottom line is, not the whole question doesn't make any. I mean, the whole question is much better than any possible answer that Tosfos doesn't really give. Gemara doesn't give any answer, and Tosfos' answer doesn't really address it. So I once heard that. So again, I told you that I shocked everyone at my wedding, and I spoke about this at my chosos dish. As I said, no one took me up on the offer to watch the wedding video. I said, you could watch it and fast forward, it still takes a lot of time. Just as my kids. But the bottom line is, I spoke about it then. What I didn't know then, I had a suggestion of this chiddush. And later I was talking about it with one of my rabbis, Rav Meir Tversky, and he quoted to me this Gemara. I didn't quote this Gemara at my wedding. And he pointed out, you see from this, perhaps the explanation of the Gemara is, because it's not just having children. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is to have children that you could educate in Torah. And as we know from many Makoros, in the immediate aftermath of the Churban, I mean, Judaism was mamash hanging by a thread. Their whole conception of Judaism related through the base. As foreign as it is to us, to bring a carbon and sprinkle blood and all that kind of stuff, to them, they couldn't imagine the religion without it. And therefore, Havamina, if the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to raise up a children, Dori Doros of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, if we're going to have a world without a base of Mikdash, how are we going to fulfill that mitzvah? And as an aside, Rabbi Tversky mentioned to me. Okay, good. So that's Kamashmulan. No, Kamashmulan Ben Plato is why. Yeah, the Havamin only makes sense if you introduce this extra element. And I want to, just as an aside, I will go back to the Minchas Chinuch in a second. And he told me something awesome. He said that years earlier, when he was a Talmud, and he was in the Kolel Harav, Yon Kolel, the first Rosh Kolel of Yon Kolel Wayu was Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal, Rav Moshe's Talmud Mufon. And when they were learning Hilchos Puravu, as an offhanded comment, Rav Nissen Alpert said, he always wondered if the Jews under communist rule in Russia were chayvim puravu. And then he moved on. So,
because there was no Talmud Torah.
Right, so he didn't explain it. Rabbi Tversky suggested that it must be that's what he had in mind. That if you have to raise your child as an atheist, so what's the point? It's bonus, there's no mitzvah. What do you mean there's no mitzvah? Because again, the assumption being that perhaps there's this additional element of education and not just biology. So getting back to your question, I think the svara of those who even raise the possibility of adoption are exactly this point. It's hard to believe that it would be a mitzvah b'shlei musa. It's hard to believe, because after all, you're still missing the biological element. But it could be that if a significant condition of that mitzvah is an education, So if you take a child, and again, this perhaps gets into the issue which Pesukim discussed, maybe it's better to adopt to take a non-Jewish child. Right? It might be better because you're Megayer the child. You're bringing a child who wouldn't otherwise have been in the Kahal into the Kahal. That's its own nuance. But the point is, the whole complex question should be understood in light of that, I think, conceptual.
Maybe that's also why it's just called
Kiliyolado, right. Well, that's the
Chochma. That is another mitzvah, Kiliyolado.
If I think, again, I haven't seen that Chochma Shlomo in years, but if I remember correctly, he quotes that Gemara. Yeah. So Shaila is, how literally do you take that Gemara? That's basically the bottom line. It's a nafkamina for whether adopted children are chayiv, mitarais, and keep it on the aim to their children, to the adoptive parents, which based on the Shuvah the Chasam so far, we assume not. We assume that they're chayiv in virtually everything anyway because of Hakar Satov. And Gemilas Chesed, that the Chasam Sofer and other posts can say also. But the Araisa of Kibbut Av'eim seems to also be conditioned on the biological fact.
And you treat them like a son. If the kid gets older at Bar Mitzvah, can the mother come and kiss the kid?
Right, so these are all discussions. These are major, major discussions, especially in contemporary poskim. Just as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, was incredibly machmir. And therefore, and since he held that it was basically an untenable human situation,
you can,
the Lubavitchers, it was known, Lubavitchers don't adopt, or those who adopt didn't go to the Rebbe, even in his lifetime. It was very interesting. They went to other Rabbanim, even in his lifetime. Other poskim, on paper, most notably the Tzitz Eliezer, had heterim. My own impression, and this is just an impression, no one ever asked me the Shaila, I never had the rule on personally. My own impression is that the overwhelming majority of families who did adopt, whether they knew about the Tzitz Eliezer or not, were being somach on him. That they were not makbid on yichud for a father and a daughter and these things. Even though Mikra Din, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and others felt that absolutely you would have to. But again, you're right. It all goes back to this issue. To what extent do we say that you can create that bond or not?
So the logical outcome of what you just said is that if a son marries a goya, then his father would not be the kapurah.
I didn't say, we didn't go that far. I said the shiloh, so far all we said is roi laholid. So if the child is a healthy male, then he's roi laholid.
Right, but then he marries a goya.
That's a different question. What if he's just not from? No one ever went that far. Okay? So back to the Minchas Chinuch. Now that's Shita number one. Shita number two, after the Ramam and the Rif, Afilu Das Hari, in Tosfos, Maharosh, in Yavamos, Mebez, and Mebez, Pesuy, the Androgon Hashem, the Pisco, the Androgonus, who, Zohar Vadai. So they came down, those who shown him, and said, an Androgonus, despite whatever female genitalia appears, those who shown him Paskin, that an Androgonus is a male. But are you fulfilled the mitzvah with a daughter and an androgynous according to the Rosh? No, because the Drush still holds. Yes, it's a male, but it's a male that's not Roy Laholid. So again, you're not fulfilled the mitzvah. Kamavura Beis Yosef Petur. And just as an aside, parenthetically, why is the Beis Yosef quote this? Because they're arguing on the tour. Hissig ala tour shekosov ladas hariva rosh. The tour assumed that once we know that the Ri and the Rosh hold that the child is a Zohar, the Havi Adrogas Vadi Zohar, Cholitzom Yabim. The tour assumed that you would have that as a brother, be Cholitzom Yabim. El Afilo Datom, so says the Beis Yosef, no! Even according to the Ri, even according to the Rosh, they're not Cholitz, they're not Miyabim. Why? Pturim and the Chalitzom and Ayibim, the Eneroi Laholid, Ayin Shem. So that is Shita number two. Ri and the Rosh. Shita number three. Abo Medivre Hatosvis, Mavur the Androgynous, Yochel Laholid Mina Isha. Again, it gets back to the point I mentioned. Did they do a test? I mean, it seems to be the typical thing that our Rebbeim in fifth grade told us doesn't happen, a machlokas in Metzias. I don't have an answer for that. I'm just pointing it out again. Here you have a machlokas, it seems to me, unless I'm missing something, in Metzias. The third sheet of Tosfos is that it's a Zachar and it's Roy Laholid. Again, as a Zachar, that's the Lashon of the Min HaIsha, means with a female, not to be impregnated, you know, by a male, but to be with a female. But I know the Yehuda, the Tshuva of the Yehuda, where he quotes from his son, She'amad benobacha kirazu, back and forth, he brings his Tosfos anal, V'ayin shem sh'mevi mi'sefer echad, V'chaz dey David, on the Tosefta and Bikurim, Shema falpel b'zeh. Bottom line, according to that, Shita, our third Shita, Im yachal l'holid l'shita zu, V'aday zachar, dino keben gomer. So, at least one Shita in Rishonim l'chora, you would say that having an androgynous would contribute to fulfilling the mitzvah for Revu, because you have to make two assumptions, and they do. Number one is that we know what sex it is, it's a boy. And number two is, you assume that it can have children, it's Roy Laholid.
Is there any reason to say Roy Laholid means all or nothing?
some do and some don't. But the question halachically is whether it's enough to be considered.
What do you mean? So meaning since this, since as a species they don't all.
Right.
So then maybe even if this one can, you wouldn't.
Right. In other words,
that would be a big chiddush.
Because then it's not shaila metzias, then it's halacha.
Right. So what the advantage of what you're saying is that you would get us all off the hook on the shaila metzias. The reason I didn't even consider it is at least, just I'm just telling you, Misfara, you're free to disagree. I would find that to be too fantastic to believe.
No, it's less than a
row. No, we don't. Those are all ways of being mavara suffik. But if you have the, if the, I quoted you the Gemara last week. That was about a tumtum, right? Where the, we assume that a tumtum is in a royal holid. Like, what is the story that there was a certain tumtum, Joe Tumtum, they called him, and he has seven kids. So then he said to the guy, to the Amor, who says that tumtum can't father children, and he was so convinced, he said, "I bet you the wife wasn't faithful." That was in a Gemara. That's a Gemara. So if you're going to go that far, so then in Echanami, then it's not Epshir Levar, then it's not a Metzias. You just assume it's a, I mean, it's a din, it's a Metzias, but it's a scientific Metzias that cannot be changed. It's hard for me to believe. What you're alluding to, Tali, seems to me like I once had a Rebbe who said, "What's an example of Lamdus gone awry?" So he said he was once overhearing some of his younger Talmidim. I won't mention the yeshiva that this Talmidim were in, but if I'm not mistaken, there may be some people connected to that yeshiva here, maybe, I'm not sure. But it doesn't really matter, it could happen in any yeshiva. And he overheard their discussion is of a summa, a blind person, Nebuch. Are they chayv mitzvahs, the famous machlokas? So there's a discussion, but what about a summa shenis rape? So he overheard the Talmidim were clearing the chakira. Do you say that a summa shenis rape? Oh, so now he's nisrape, so then he should be chayv mitzvahs. Or maybe no, even though he's nisrape, he's a din summa. Right, it's ridiculous. Yeah, din summa. Summa means you're blind. If you're not blind anymore, then you're not blind. But you know, so to me, it would be hard to believe, Sally. You could be right. Oh, so we have a sefer Hasidim that's going to get a little bit like that in a little bit. Hello, but it's hard for me to believe, Tali. It would be a big chiddush, and if someone said it, they said it. But again, what this one or so Tali was suggesting, if it's true, it works. I just don't know if it's true. Is that even if the given androgynous in front of us, we knew that he had produce a child, but maybe al pidin, we don't look at individual people, we look at a whole category. It's a category.
And then you have to do it the other way around, too, that if you should be able to give birth, but just can't because something's wrong with them, you can't.
Exactly, and we don't say that.
Maybe that's what Tosfos Hashita is, since there exists such a thing as an androgynous that can father a child. So then maybe
I don't know.
The species,
so the Gemara is just the suffix is whether it's Zafar Nekeva. Why are you assuming because we have a suffix is Zafar Nekeva that they can't be royal holy?
Because the Rishonim discussed that because it has many enough given as halacha. As many have mean as halacha.
Tacking on one from the other.
It's not.
Any other Zafar that's born than me also.
No, it's not no different. There's a reason I had to go see Barry. It's not different. There's a major matter.
What he is?
The Rishonim assume that it's not just pshat that they have two organs or some semblance of two. But no, we'll get that's a different sheet. The point is, but who said that they work? Who said they're fully functioning?
Then when it comes time, you find out.
That's what I would have thought. That is what I would have thought. But you see from the Rishonim, not that way. I don't have a better explanation for you. That's what I'm trying to say. You're making my point. And Echanami, L'chore, it's a din in Metzias. And you would take each androgynous by himself. Or herself, or itself. I agree with you.
Why you can't base it on role.
I'm not saying there's no explanation. I'm saying I don't have it. I don't know. But to me, I'm glad at least you're on the same page as me. You're also a little bit bothered by this. But Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, again, what we're pointing out, which is part of the bigger picture, because other than Barry, most of us at least haven't knowingly run into an androgynous recently.
Yeah.
And I stress the word knowingly, I guess, in light of what Barry told us. The bottom line is the Ikari Sod for us is this bigger picture of that there is a requirement of Roy Laholid. That's all. That's the main thing. The bottom line is in terms of the androgynous, it's himself, so the Minchas Chinuch summarizes, and he says, well, part of that one sheet, would be Yotzei. L'shita shehu safek, after gam ali bayhu roi laholid, ben atoli zeh bezeh, as I mentioned before, the Minchas Chinuch says, en echanami, whether it's roi laholid or not, or is a male or female, those aren't necessarily going hand in hand, kev roi laholid hu vare zachar, we don't say that. Ayin sham besug shi amuka. Well, we're not being ayin sham there, but that's this complicated sugya. Im kein, im holid androgynous hu bas, according to the second l'shita, maybe you would have said, if you have a daughter and an androgynous, Yotze, maybe you should say, I'm Yotze, Misafik, Dilma androgynous Zacharu. And if that's the case, Yeshua ben Obas. Avalim hold an androgynous a ben. If I have a son and an androgynous, near me side the androgynous mitoras bas loyotza klal. Since according to this shita that it's a suffix, you can never get past the fact that maybe it's a bas. This seems to be, again, a metzius which is not debated. Even those who held that the androgynous is royal aholid, it was always fulfilling the function as a male. The idea of being impregnated, you know, waiting 9 months and then giving birth, apparently that was bechlal not shy for an androgynous. So again, if you have a son and an androgynous, that means you need the androgynous to be a female, to be royal aholid, like a female. So that says the Minchas Chinuch, that's for sure you're not going to be Yotzei, because that just doesn't exist in Metzias. Achim hu molid mi'isha kezachar, but if this androgynous can help a woman conceive, there's a kosovu deben ubas haruim loholid kederech haeretz bo'inan. It needs to be in a normal way, and if you don't have that, then it's not going to make a difference. The came with androgynous ein molid mi'ish kashar nekevos, as we just said, no matter what you call it, it's not going to be impregnated and just, you know, like a woman and go not to term. It's not just b'safik, but b'vadi and ayotzei. Lo mitar safik. And check out the following safik that he is mala. Wild. Again, this is just classic minchas chinuch-esque. The kamach ha-mesorachin, he says, efshar kevin the molid lo ichbat lan be'eza inyan imkein eru chayiv v'puruvu rak mi'safik. He's discussing the following thing. Could an androgynous impregnate itself? So that's what he says. Maybe it impregnated itself. And that's what he said before. Maybe you need kederach eretz. That's not called kaminik derach eretz.
That's what he means.
Yes.
When he injects the term kederach eretz.
Yes.
So what about his ritual fertilization?
That was asked last week, and that's a big machlokas in contemporary poskim.
Yeah.
It's already discussed, even though it's well before its time, because the technology is very recent, but it's already discussed in the Mishnah Lamelech, Bapashtus. The Mishnah Lamelech discusses what if you have a woman who was in a bath, and she becomes, that's the famous thing of Nisabra Bambatya. She's in the bath, and the assumption is that there was fish swimming around, and that's how she got impregnated. So, or is the father, we're assuming that it's a husband and wife, the bath is in the house, that it's from the husband, in terms of the genetic material, is that considered a mitzvah or not? And this is, again, this is not the time to get into it, but it is a discussion, and you could definitely see the svar to say that you are Yotzei. Why might not you be Yotzei?
So,
or perhaps it's this line of the Minchas Chinuch. It's not what's called, quote, Kaminag Derech Eretz. It's not...
That would impact on all the things that happen today. I mean,
it could. I'm not paskining it.
That's not really true, because in this case, it's everything came from the same...
So the androgynous is much extreme, of course.
Yeah,
no, I'm not giving a raya from it. It's not a raya, 100%.
It's still hair came from
100%, 100%. But on the other hand, it's also not... in the most biblical sense, in the most genuine sense. I could see both sides. I'm not saying it's like the androgynous, of course not. That's much...
It is more of a...
The androgynous case, I hate to say, that's like a circus freak. I mean, that... I'm saying impregnating yourself. That's obvious.
That's Derek. I mean, there's no Derek, because here you're taking the same...
Right. That's the Shiloh. That is the Shiloh L'maisa B'zmanazeh. Okay? I don't know. I guess it's all related, I guess. Okay, a few more shitas. Two more shitas in Rishonim. Ladas harayvid perik beis mehilchos shofar halacha beis tandrogas lav safeku elachatzi zocher chatzi nekevo. So you asked me before both. I said no. Now say both. Yes, that's the harayvid. Although if you look it up, I looked it up today. I don't believe the harayvid actually holds this. The harayvid quotes this. He says if you'll say this, then this will be the halacha. So I'm not sure the harayvid holds it. Who's being motzi who? See, chayiv and shofar can be mostly somebody else. So maybe definitely a man, and now we have a both, a boy and a girl. That's, everyone can make fun of him. The girls don't want to play with him, and the boys want to play with him. It's a boy and a girl. That's the rive shita. Like a chazi evan chazi
b'charim.
Well, that's it. Oh, so let's continue. Oh. Im ne'mar di yochel laholid gam kein. Now again, if you'll say that this birya can give birth is yochel laholid mikamakum zevadei ein svara. That's still not going to be enough. He says, according to the Ravid, you're for sure not going to be yotzei. The name of the androgynous levad yotzei dechavasa dehavi less lei ben ubas. So would you have said has michas chinuch that you're yotzei just by having the term androgynous? Right, that's the easiest way to fulfill puravu.
Certainly, you can't both have children if there's only one.
Right. So that's why he rejects it. But again, in his ever fertile mind, he considers at least the possibility. The Gzeres HaKotavi, Shilu Shnei Gufim, says Minchas Chinuch, no, it doesn't work. Right? You don't get, this is not a twofer, you don't get two for the price of one. It's either it's a boy or a girl, or it's both, or it's neither, but it's not halachically two separate gufim. Sheru'im laholid, each one independently has to be roi laholid. V'zehu rak guf echad. Achim holid androgynous ubas, evshar diyotza. If you have an androgynous and a daughter, maybe according to the Shita, you're Yotze. Why? The androgynous who's Zachar Vadai, again, he's only half a Zachar, but the half that's a Zachar is a Zachar Vadai. So now I got a half Zachar Vadai. Vadai Gamke, Veroy Laholid, who, again, if you assume is Roy Laholid, Vadai Yotze, Dechavasa. Achim Yeshua Ben Vandrogynous, again, because the point is that the half that's a Ben is the one that can be molded. Again, as we've seen until now, even those who hold an androgynous being molded, it's always as a male, never as a female. But if you have a Ben and an androgynous, after androgynous, even if you assume that there's a Vadai part of it, which is a female, but can never get pregnant, and therefore is not Yotzi the Mitzvah. The answer is, in the end, he says this nice pilpul ba'alma. He says, but at the end, even if this androgynous impregnated someone else, he says, that's not what he calls derech eretz, and perhaps you're not yotzei no matter what. And finally, since I know this has been so sensational and exciting and thrilling and practical, halacha l'maisa, we'll nevertheless have one more shita before we move on to something even more interesting, and that is the shita of the Tosfos in Yevamos. There's a shita in Tosfos, which is not explicit, but it's by implication. It's as follows. O shita cheres, the androgynous who birya bifnei atzma. It's not a suffake, it's not a zachar, it's not a half and half, it's a four shita. It's a birya bifnei atzma. It's its own thing. It's not male, it's not female, it's not maybe male, maybe female, not both male and female. It's called androgynous. It's a separate, independent, I guess creature is the word, or species.
Gender,
thank you. That's a little bit nicer way of saying it. Thank you. The androgynous birya bifnei atzma velo ish velo isha. He min bifnei atzma. Hatosus biyavamus, ayin aleph, dibramas, pegim lamed aleph, excuse me, dochu shidazu. So by birmi, implicitly considers the possibility, but rejects it. Ayin b'choros taf memalat mebeis v'dasa ramen v'chos b'choros the androgynous nigzos v'neva. What if you had an animal that was an androgynous as a b'chor? So there we assume that it does not have kedushas b'chor, and therefore you don't have to treat it in any kadosh way. Ayin lecha mishne pragdam v'chos ishus. Hamafal pel bezet the dibrei Rambam satri adadei, because the Rambam by b'choros says b'vadai that the androgynous animal is not kaddish, and yet, as he said in the beginning of the piece we started tonight, the general shita of the Rambam is that androgynous is a suffix. So that the Lecha Mishnah claims is a stira. I don't know if it's the biggest stira in the world. You could say lots of things. We're not learning b'hilchos b'choros, but in a chanami. After all, the kama makomos pasuk tuhu suffix ayin shem ba'orach. Right? If you have a long afternoon, take out the Lecha Mishnah, see what he has to say. There's apparently a long piece there. Ayin Ramban, Marid Al-Ghazi, the Daito Kushita Zu, the Mufnei Atzma, even though the Tosus rejects it, apparently the Marid Al-Ghazi accepted it. Ayin Shem Marid Al-Ghazi, Be'orech, the Yeshim Min Mufnei Atzma, it's this independent gender, Shemolidin Mi'isha, which again, can conceive with a female, V'yolidin Mi'ish. But then he says, maybe it can also, again, this doesn't seem to be like anything the Rishonim or the Gemara considered. I don't know where the Ma'arid al-Ghazi met such a creature, but apparently he says that there is such a creature who could be partners with a female to make a baby, or partners with a male to carry a baby. The Zeu Vada Mufnei Atzma, and all I would say is proof is in the pudding. If you find me somebody like that, I will agree that is a Mufnei Atzma. Lamaisa, even if you'll find the person, Vaday lo yotzi de chovas perivrivya. The lo have ish lo isha. But once you say it's mifnei atzmo, so again, I hate to say it, I don't mean it in a cruel way, but you know, there are probably ways a person like that can make money in today's day and age. You know, people would see lots of things. But lamaisa, it's not going to help you for the mitzvah peruvu, because mitzvah peruvu is not a mifnei atzmo. It's having a boy and a girl. Avgav yochel laholid mikom bakum kev the mifnei atzmo eino yotzi.
The shurish mitzvah is you have a
again, but you can't buy. Again, this is always a tricky point, and all these questions, a few of the questions that have been asked, are all on the same point, which is once you have a goal-oriented mitzvah. So, Shaila, how much can you play fast and loose with the process and just focus on the goal? And I would say you have more latitude than when you have a process mitzvah. Right? If you have a mitzvah, the kiyum is the totzah, in echanam, you have more flexibility than you would otherwise. But I don't think you have that much flexibility to say that you could, so to speak, skip the middle step. Because I didn't have a boy or a girl, but since whatever it is had a boy, I contributed to Shabbos. I think that that would be, and I mean, the Mechassana says it, and I could understand that to me, why that's going too far. Okay? That's not what the discussion of the Michas Kenuch is, but that is discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara is in Yevamos, that's the context. The Gemara is in Yevamos, we're not talking about Puravu. That's for the Michas Kenuch to talk about. The Gemara is in Yevamos speak about whether they can get married or not. If they get married, is that considered a full-fledged marriage or not? And the context in Yevamos is about a Kohen marrying an androgynous, and then, or a Kohen androgynous, either way. What about Truma? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Well, it may not be if you go like the famous Rush. The famous Rush in Ksubis, who says that marriage is not a mitzvah. After all, he says the only mitzvah is Puravu. And Puravu, you could just have a Pilagesh. You don't need Ishus for Puravu. He holds you're going to be Yotze with the Pilagesh. So even though you're right, as a Hechatimsa, 9 times out of 10, and according to contemporary halacha, 10 times out of 10, but at least let's say midaraisa as understood by the Rosh, as opposed to the Rambam, but as opposed to the Rosh, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get married to have the children. But since in theory you don't have to have one with it, you don't have to have one or the other, lav dafka. Secondly, Tali, we're about to get to something which totally shoots it out of the water, which is what if you have a child with a person you're not allowed to marry? It's usher to marry. Let's say you have a child out of wedlock, or with a woman who you're not allowed to marry, and the kedushin is not toface. So the question is, leave aside the issue of the avera, whether the avera gets in the way, which is what we're going to be discussing in a minute. That we're going to discuss that in the next 15 minutes. But leave that aside. The point is, no one, I don't think, says you needed mikra hadin, the mizgeret, the context of marriage, in order to fulfill the mitzvah. You may need it for the action to be mutter. And if you hold without the heter, it's mitzvah b'avera, then mamele you needed it. But it's not inherent. Inherently, Puravu is definitely separate than Kiddushin. The Shiloh, which is famous in the Rishonim, is in the other direction. Is there a Kiddushin independent of Puravu? But everyone agrees that Puravu is theoretically at least independent of Kiddushin.
Oh, I'm saying because being that at the end of the day, that he was Mekayim, in other words,
that's the Shiloh. Well, we're going to see that. We're going to see that as Machlokas now. That's what we're going to get to now. We're going to get to a much bigger Avera. Because Kohen in a Grusha is only an Isser Lav. What if he has a relationship with an Isser Kuris? That's what we're going to get to. That's what we're going to get to. Okay? Everyone ready? Biter, Siv Hey. Actually, not ready for the big part. The big part, the good stuff, is in Siv Ches. Let's try to get to it quickly. What if you have a child who Nebuch becomes sterile at some point later in life? The Einaroi Laholid, who can no longer have children. Right? Nebuch, this can happen. I mean, again, more times, a more common way it happens, Nebuch nowadays, is a woman who has a form of cancer or something, and you have to tie her tubes or take out her. It's directly things like that. Vadai says the Minchas Chinuch, a Chumrah, Eina Yosei Dechavaso. Even though when you had the baby, you made the bris, you had the Shalom Bas, you had the Kiddush, everything was wonderful and healthy, but at some point later, pre actually having children, because if they already had the children, then you were okay, but pre giving you grandchildren, pre having children, they can no longer, they become Eina Roy Laholid, says Minchas Chinuch, you're not Yotzei. And it sounds difficult, it sounds cruel, but he has a good raya. Umali Imnoldo Kach.
What about the
inability? Inability is for
sure
you're not Yotze. That's what he's saying. For sure not.
We don't know ahead of time.
But when you find out in his raya, I thought he had the raya here. He must have it somewhere else. I could have sworn he had here, which is that is we're going to get to. But I told it to you last week. I think from the Gemara, and the Chinuch said, what if God forbid 100,000 times a child dies?
Did I miss it?
I skipped the line. Okay, thank you. I skipped the line. I knew I did. I thought it was there.
Why can't you go
if the child died before they had children, retroactively, you're not Yotze. I mean, you had one son, Chalila.
Why can't you go by Rove? Because Rove kids that are born are going to be.
And the answer is Enechanami. Enechanami. If I ask somebody in the moment, or let's give a different tragedy.
Why can't Rove finish?
The Rove doesn't work once it's not true anymore. Rove is a presumption. So we can presume, you're right. Al Pirov, we assume that we look at any 13-year-old, we assume that they're royal holid. And Konami. But if we find out at 15 because of a motorcycle accident that they're no longer royal holid, then they're not, you can't say Rove, yes, but they're not anymore.
Oh, once you reach
13. Oh, so that's the Minchas Chinuch Chiddush, which is not really a Chiddush, because as he says, I have a glot raya against it, which is that we can have a retroactive upschlug, for lack of a more articulate way of putting it. What's the raya? The raya is the Gemara. The Gemara says, God forbid to pass away. Rove, the child's not going to pass away. Super Rove, the child's not going to pass away. But what if it happens? Nebuch, what if it happens? The Gemara says, you're not Yotze.
Is he considered an onus? Let's say it's too late now.
That's a different shiloh, which in a Hanami, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in Shamayim to the person. I would hope that he's going to, meaning...
Because you can't do anything.
Well, no, that's not a question of an onesh.
No, I'm saying, like...
Let's say he's still royal holy, let's say the father can still abort children.
Okay. But it's not a given that it will happen.
In a Hanami. So you'll ask if he can have more children. And now this happens. I understand exactly what you're saying.
He can't. Does he have to do tshuva that he never would
have? I don't think so.
Or if, let's say, his wife died, does he have to remarry in order to have children again?
Take a second wife. Let's think about more fun.
Let's just say, well, you're taking too much.
Anyway, yeah, in economy, I would assume not. I don't know. I take that back. I should say I assume not. In today's day and age, with Chaim Dvar Gershom, I don't think we would say, Chalila, that he has to divorce the wife. Let's put it that way. The shiloh would be, but let's, it's not a happy situation, but relatively speaking, less heartless. Let's say Nebuchadnezzar was already passed away or divorced. So then the shiloh is,
and then he would lost he the mechuyev, child also.
Yes. He's had a bum few years. Would he mechuyev to get married? Yeah, then the answer may be yes.
And he would have to marry someone that's still able to have children.
Young enough, right? Well, which is usually not a problem for men, at least in terms of what they're looking for. It doesn't what they're finding. It's a different kasha. But men, no matter how old they are still always looking for women who can have children. That's a klal gadol. Okay? So, enechanami, it's a difficult halacha. Ain't no more difficult than the mace case. But the bottom line is, once you have that in the Gemara, mechla masai mona, this is on the same svara, it's just even less extreme than that. I would just want to point out to you all along these lines, the Chalkas Machokek, that's one of the two, in Evan Ezra, the two primary Befarshim or Shulchan Aruch are the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Machokek. So, I don't know if it's probably because of historical reasons, I don't know the exact lineage of either, but I guess the Chalkas Machokek was first, because you have the Beis Shmuel sometimes quoting the Chalkas Machokek. So in this case as well, this is quoted even by Beis Shmuel, so you have them both saying it, but it really comes from the Chalkas Machokek. He has the following shiloh. Let's say you have a child, let's say it's a boy, and he's wonderful, and Alamilas, and he's valedictorian, and Alpi Rove, presumably he can have children, and then he gets married, and for many years they can't have children. They go to the doctors and they find out that his wife is sterile. Pick the 10 reasons why it could happen. But she's sterile, never. I'm not talking about the marriage. Who says that's the shaila is? Was the father Yotze? His son is now in it. He had one girl and one daughter. The girl gave him 10 in the clock. Beautiful. But now he has a son.
He's right. He's right.
So that's what the Chalkas Machokek says. Exactly. That's what the Chalkas Machokek says. In other words, we were wondering. Very good. We were exactly. Yes, I think that's what will be true. Yes. We were wondering the whole time. And again, we'll really, if we're keeping notes, we'll have to work when we finish the mitzvah. We'll be able to look. We'll be looking at all the evidence. We've been wondering every step of the way, how far do you push that? How far do you take the idea of Shevis? How far do you take this idea of Roy Laholid? So you might have thought that it means your mamish need to have the children on the ground. You need to see the grandchildren. Kamash Malan, the answer is no. As long as the child themselves is Roy Laholid, even if they end up finding themselves in a situation of not being able to practically.
Even if they don't get married.
Lachora, right.
You can't get the decisions of the child.
Right, exactly.
What?
Because obviously.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh.
What's the difference if what? The child dies.
Because the child.
You never know.
The child died. The child died as a Roy Laholid.
Yeah.
The child died as Roy Laholid. Here, the child. Yeah. Oh, one second. No, I heard that. I don't know. Let's say.
But there's no chance here with the wife. Maybe it's a good thing.
I'm not sure. It's good. It's good.
The wife can't have. He's still Roy Long. It doesn't matter. He's still.
That's a good question.
That's a good question. And I like it.
I'm not sure. Okay, good.
It all comes down to having a good leg.
Are you from Brooklyn?
There's a blonde that talks
about it. How about this variation? If he has a child, who has a child, you're not guilty. He has to marry a child, and the son dies.
So I think we assume that you're Yotzei. Yeah, you are Yotzei.
Even though you're...
We are going to see, again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, we're going to see the Minchas Chinuch figuring out ways you could be Yotzei, the mitzvah, in two generations. A son and a granddaughter, Lamashal, things like that. In other words, if... Again, we're going to get to it. Almost every permit... It could be the Wolfgang Lassan Minchas Chinuch didn't, but let's give him the benefit of doubt, because he thinks of everything. So almost all the scenarios you're thinking of, he probably thinks of. So let's
really
be patient.
Stuck with the Shiloh there.
On that point, I don't have a good answer. I have to think about it more. I have to think about it more. Homework for all of you.
Well, what does it mean when he says, "Vareini Yosi Lechvaskum of Meso Abanim"? So what is that talking about? When they died at what age?
I think it's... my impression was before having children.
But before the Roy to have children?
No, before having children. I think.
Why not before the Roy to have children? Because to me, at least, it's mashma that that's how...
Then you would never have. Then you would have a machlok. Then that would be easy understood. Then that would be easy to understand. You're saying because then he never got to the point of being roy. Okay, I have to look into it. I don't know if you're right, Avi. If Avi's right, then that would help.
That would make sense.
I just don't know if it's true. So I have to look into it. Yes, I agree.
What about the Kedushim of the Holocaust? The whole family, children, grandchildren got killed.
Anachanami. I hate to say it, but. Those I would consider the Shaila Peruvu Pachim Katanim in that context. Okay, let's go weiter. Vav. Mavur B'Shulchan Aruch Kan, Sivav, Ramah, Hoya HaBen Katan. This all relates to the same issues. Everything we're talking about has the same common thread. The Lashon of the Ramah is Hoya HaBen Katan, Kim HaMitzvah. In other words, even when the child is a Katan, but assuming that the child is normal, al pi rov, the child's going to grow up and be physically mature, etc. We already assume that, assuming that he has a boy and a girl, even if they're b'katnusam, we assume that he has fulfilled the mitzvah. Again, it's only an assumption, though, which is why chalila with meisud banim, you could lose it. But we do assume at that point that they have fulfilled the mitzvah. V'nira im higil yudgil moshanim v'lo hevi beisairos, yotz mechal harov, the chazaka derava, favele safik shema nashru. So what if you have a child who hits 13 and is not physically maturing? Now, we don't know for sure that they're going to be a Saris or an Islandus. We don't know that until 20. But we generally work with the assumption at 13 that it's a rove that they're physically mature. But if they beat, again, as we said, the rove is never inviolable. If you see evidence that it counteracts the rove, then at this point, we can no longer assume that the guy's fulfilled the mitzvah, and we have to put him in a position of suffix. And therefore, me suffix, he's still chayiv in per rivya of Shem Yitzah Banim Saris. Because again, it could be that when the kid hits 20, we're going to see for sure that the person was sterile. I was about to say, before the Mechas Chinuch, the not communicate be for something like birth control. Right? We generally assume, not that there's just like blanket heterim, but the halacha is much more makel on a couple once they fulfill per revu. So if you assume that once you have an assumption of a boy and a girl, which we can assume a pirov, already nimsa katan, they've already fulfilled the mitzvah, so then you're in one status. But, and then you're in Sheves only, but you're at a Peruvu, where the urgency in terms of the birth control issue is much, much greater. But once you're at a Peruvu and you're into Sheves, then the bar is lower. Says Minchas Chinuch, but if the kid is 13, and all of a sudden you took him for the pediatrician's visit, the pediatrician said, you know, we have to monitor the situation, but right now, the child's not developing the way he should, then in Echanami, we would not be able to say that we cannot use the Rove, and therefore we'd have to say Misafik, Daven well, but in the meantime, Misafik, you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah.
Isn't that part of it? I learned this part before, that rov is only after you require. Once you require it, rov doesn't apply. That's basically the gist.
Correct, so that's exactly what he says. So you don't have the rov anymore, but you don't have a vada in the other direction. The Gemara assumes that between the eight, again, I don't know the medical science, how it corresponds to the halacha. But we generally assume that until 20, there's still a chance. Once a child is 20, then we figure either they are or they're not. Okay? Now again, with that, again, today's day and age, Baruch Hashem, we live in it, it doesn't help everybody, unfortunately, but the number of couples that are helped in terms of fertility compared to what it used to be in previous generations is astronomically higher. Again, it doesn't help save the pain of those who still aren't helped, but it's certainly, in kamus, in terms of quantity, far greater numbers, and alibi, they should continue to progress scientifically. But
they still may not be used.
Depending on which, correct. But there, you certainly would have an eye.
That's considered a kedusha charis when they have, like, depending on kind of fertility.
That's what I mentioned. Yeah, that's the
like
Yosef. That's the shaila. But again, lamaisa in terms of the kiyum hamitzvah is a shaila. In terms of quote unquote the avera, there's no shaila. Of course not. Then you're clearly an onus. clearly somebody who
again. But is it interesting if you're not yotzei purva, you yotzei
shevet? So that was part of the discussion of my chassidish. Yeah. You really should see the video. I'll give you a pop.
How is the video different than having six boys?
By which I mean to say, I discussed that the chassidish is shevet just the same mitzvah but writ large,
or is there
a different mahalach? If you held of the second approach, it's a different getter, then maybe there's makom to say, maybe. Then there's what to say about what you just said. As opposed to another direction, again, it's true. Every child, we start from the chinuch, every child's already a kim and shevis. Right? The shayla is it also a kim and peruvu?
Does it also depend on the child living?
For shevis also? All of those shaylas, lecha ora, are dependent on this. I hate to come back to it, but... it's not even my anniversary or anything. But that was what I was discussing. To what extent do they have the same gedarim and the same rules, or might you have l'kula or l'chumra, different standards? No, if a child looks... If a child looks normal, then we assume, even though they haven't procreated yet, but we assume that they will be able to. But once... That's only if they have the simonim. Again, we still don't know if they can procreate. But if you have this physical simonim and you're 13, then we assume... No, then the chazaka kicks in. We assume this person is going to physically...
He doesn't have the simonim by age 13. He cannot get a lid to Torah, for example.
That's a question. He's not fulfilling the arises. Maybe the rabbanon. That's... A different question, off the field. Yeah.
We assume that Roy Lahoylish, the second you bring this in mind, whether he's 13, 14, whatever it was, it's able to father a child.
But at that point, we would say, check by the father.
Because you see by the min b'fnei asmai,
yeah.
The lashon over there is, apagav the yachal lahoylish, that's a Roy Lahoylish. Yachal lahoylish, but that doesn't count. So the difference between Roy Lahoylish.
Well, I think the reason is because the line that you're talking about in the min b'fnei atzmo, I think he was talking about impregnating himself. So even though Yochel Laholid, but that's what he says. That's not their
character. Would have impregnated somebody else.
But if you well, then
would that be Roy? Or would that have been Yochel Laholid?
That's even better. No, at least in that qualification, they would have fulfilled.
They would have.
Fulfilled. Yes, I think so. Now again, according to the Shita's Mitzmo, you're never going to fulfill the Mitzvah Peruvu because Beisham Mizhul agree on one thing: it has to be a male or a female. It does not. They both agree it cannot be a Mitzvah Atzmo. Okay, Zion. Im holid ben obas, we come welcome. Didi, you just asked this. Afilu cheresh v'shota, kima mitzvah. Again, because it doesn't matter what their mental maturity is, as long as they have the physical maturity, physical capability of fathering a child, or for that matter, mothering a child, a cheresh or a shota, who ordinarily are patra mitzvahs, that may be, but for your mitzvah, peruvu, they have the physical, there's no reason to assume they won't have the physical capabilities. Tehim b'nei mitzvahs, d'asr l'achilam b'yadayim d'avar iser, v'ru'uyim l'holid. It's interesting, I immediately ran to the Ruim Laholid, because that is the main theme he's had. I'm not sure, Taka, why he threw in the first part. Now, it is true. What he means by B'nai Mitzvahs is not that they're Chayiv Mitzvahs. It means that we are not allowed to what's called Safiyah B'yadayim. That's a halachic category. That even though a katan is allowed, if the katan would eat Ochel Nevelus and Treifus on their own, there's no Isser. But even for a katan, we're not allowed to do what's called Safiyah B'yadayim. We can't feed them. Correct. Like, but I don't know why he mentions that, because Lachor is irrelevant. Unless it gets back to Meir of Nissen Alpert. Unless it gets back to Meir of Nissen Alpert. That you see here that there has to be some shaychus to mitzvahs in order to fulfill the mitzvah. And that may fit into that theory we talked about at the beginning of the shir. Okay, go to the Chavasuk and Bavur Kamp Beis Yosef Uber Shulchan Aruch.
As opposed to an androgynous that is not.
No, that's well. First of all, what the status of androgynous is, he never even discussed. But it's irrelevant because he has other problems. In other words, the cheresh shota v'katan, or not katan, we already did katan. The cheresh shota, the assumption is again, I think, is borne out by our own personal observations and experiences today and age. Now we have all sorts of children with different mental disabilities. But unfortunately, it's a very big challenge. Their hormones work like everybody else. In fact, it's part of the terrible nesayon that these people have. Because their hormones are working just as strong as the rest of ours, and they don't have an outlet. It becomes a very big nisayon. But the bottom line is, we assume, and Taka, it's the case, that they're going to be physically as mature as anybody else. As opposed to the issue, for we know it's a male or a female, that's not a problem, and we assume they're Roy Lowland. That's the two main criteria. That's why, again, your question is exactly what I would have wanted to avoid. If I would be the Minchas Chinuch, I would never have mentioned this thing about B'nai Mitzvahs, only because it opened up a Pandora box that confused you. Like right, and again, that's the whole consistent theme here has been two things. Zohar and a cave on the one hand, Royal Hood on the other. And a Shot of a Cotton have both.
So, according to this, that even if someone has Shulchan HaShivcha, that's also Mitzvahs associated with it.
Well, we're going to get to now. Again, I didn't know how much we covered tonight, but we're stopping actually a good place, because it wouldn't be kedai to start now, since we're not going to finish the next section. We really should do it all in one night. What we're going to get to now, what we're leaving for next year, is the question of Isser. If you produce a child b'Isser with a woman you're not supposed to be with, to raise the stakes ultimately, what about a mamzeres? Which would mean that you were with an Isser Kares. So that's going to be the discussion. Hold the thought. If you want, you can take a look in advance. That's the big discussion that the Minchas Chinuch has. And just to whet your appetite, the Minchas Chinuch assumes you're Yotze. If you want to understand why and who disagrees and why and all that, you'll have to come back next time. Now, next time is in 3 weeks.
What?
I'm sorry. A guy can't take a vacation?